Today we're going to talk about this series is called How To. You see it on the screen. Can you read it with me? How to handle your finances. Don't you love it? You come to church and the pastor is going to talk about money. How many of you guys use money every week, a few dollars? How many of you guys know that money can be a great thing or can be something that if you don't have it, can destroy a lot? You know, anybody needs money? Anybody needs money? Let me see. You need money to pay your bills? It's interesting because we're going to see six different money personalities today. And maybe you grew up in a house where mom and dad had a different money personality, a different money attitude. But we're going to read a scripture in the Bible, and you're going to say, what did this has to do with money? It has to do a lot with money, because we pride ourselves in our country, and I'm an American, and I'm proud to be an American. Didn't born here, but I am glad that I live in the United States of America. Are you glad? Yes, you're going to clap until I say the next thing I'm going to say. We pride in our country to talk about what? Freedom. Amen. The eagle and the freedom. But in our country, in the United States of America, we are one of the most slaved nation when it comes to finances. The government is doing everything wrong with finances. And that culture of the government wants to translate to us. And we live in a country, where the motto for finances is not freedom, is what? It's slavery. Let's look in the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says about all the loans that we take to survive in our nation. Proverbs 22:7, you are skinny and beautiful like the people in the first service, but I'm going to make you stand up so you burn a few more calories, and we're going to read together the Word of God. That was a joke because I need to walk a little bit more. It's too cold to walk. Okay, Proverbs 22 says, let's read it together. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. I don't find any freedom in that scripture. Let's read it again. The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. Let's close our eyes and let's ask personally the Holy Spirit to talk to us today. Father God, I ask you that you would speak to us, including myself. We all have areas where we can do better when it comes to walk in wisdom and being godly with our finances, Lord. Lord, I ask you just help us today to understand your word and that we would be able to hear your voice and we'd be able to understand that it's not about being a millionaire, it's about being godly with our finances. In Jesus' name we pray and everybody says, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to preach while I open this thingy here. This is Spanish. You know what that means in Spanish. And this is in English. How many of you guys drive cars? Drive cars. How many of you guys have a car loan? How many of you guys have a mortgage loan? How many of you guys have student loans? We're going to talk about this today. Don't hate me. But I want you, as your pastor, to pay your bills and be free of the slavery of the banks. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
I want you, as your pastor, to be wise with your finances. I want you to have enough money to pay your bills and still show that you love God and love people with your money. And so, if you buy a car that is used average, $8,000, $10,000, $15,000. If it's new, average $30,000, $35,000. If you buy a house, that is a starting probably of $100,000. If you go to school and you're going to be a bachelor in a public college, maybe you're going to have to lend $15,000-$20,000. If you go to a private college, you're going to have to lend $30,000 or $40,000. And I'm kind of low right here, but that's what the Bible says. You want to be wise with your finances? You know, we have a wrong concept in our nation. The more money I can make, the more stuff I can buy. How did I buy that stuff? By getting another loan and paying more and more and more money and getting more credit cards and more stuff that I can buy. And I get passionate about this because there is families and people who have been destroyed because one reason. They are slaves of the banks. You cannot make a decision. You stop coming to church because now you have to work Sundays also. Can I get excited? Because you have to pay another loan. And that's not. Say it with me. That's not.
Wise.
That is. The rich rules over the poor. And the borrower is the slave of the lender. I studied the original word in Greek of credit cards. And in Greek, you know how you say credit cards? Satan. That's a joke. My dad told me though, credit cards are from El Diablo because he spoke Spanish. You know what El Diablo means? God wants you to pay your bills, walk the fastest you can, rent the fastest you can out of your loans, and be able to be free so you're not a slave of the system of the world. It's not a godly system, and we all have loans. And I can promise you, 12 years ago or so, I decided that I'm going to start paying off my debt the soonest I can. But I was just like another regular guy who said, I don't have money to pay off my debt. I had several. Two car loans. Back then, I had, I was getting into student loans like crazy. I had a mortgage. I owed a credit card to Home Depot. I called another loan made in the bank attached to my mortgage so I can make a trip to see my family in Argentina. I had another loan with the lumber liquidators company so I can put new floor in my house, and I can go on and on and on and on. Thank God somebody in my family decided to stop going to the gym, $30, and that was my first step. I said, those $30 are going to my old van, an old blue van. I was still paying $115 a month in that mortgage. When you add $30, then we switch from our cell phone, from our house phone to $50 the line in the house where Quest or whoever CenturyLink it was, and we added another cell phone, cost me $10 more, and I added, now you paying like $70 or $80 in your principal of this little loan of $115 I had to pay. I added just another loan to that. Imagine $80 now going to that. When I paid that off, that was about $200 or so, $115 plus $80. And now I had $200 extra to pay every. You know what I'm saying? It's not a season you are going through. It's a lifestyle you have adopted with finances. Tell the person next to you, look at them in the eye, and as much you love them or you hate them, you can tell them, it's not a season you're going through with your finances, honey. It's a lifestyle. Do it for me. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. Anybody agrees with me? It's a lifestyle. It's not a season. It's not a season. Six money personalities. The hoarder. Who is the hoarder? You see about them in the news. this guy or this lady who was eating green bread full of mold, living out of canned food, and it has thousands and thousands of dollars in the bank, and they die, and they were living a horrible, have you heard of cases like that? Of slavery. They had no, couldn't eat healthy, not because they had money, because they were hoarders. Another money personality is the spender. He rewards himself for working hard, had a big old fight with his mother-in-law, now has to go and spend $300 to go to the spa. So that is the spender. That is the person that spends money to feel a little better about themselves. Know anybody like that? They don't have money to pay the bills, but they just spend and spend and spend and spend. They don't like to cook, so they are in the restaurants all the time. When the bills come, they have no money to pay the electric bill. Third personality, the avoider. The person that say, money is from the devil, and we should never talk about money in church, and the Bible says something about money is the root of evil. The Bible does not say that. The Bible says the love of money is the root of evil. The Bible talks a lot about our finances. The avoider, money is evil, they say. The fourth, the manipulator. Banks and loan companies and credit cards are owned by these people, and there is family members and there are friends who they are the manipulated. They lend you money to control your life. They lend you money so they can control your life. So the next time they need something at 2 a.m, they call you, you have to jump out of the bed because you own them money and they can manipulate you. Anybody here in the house? The fifth one is kind of similar to the spender, but not really, because the spender sometimes has the money to spend and spend and spend and stuff that is ridiculous, not important. The fifth one, the show off, he gets stuff to show a lie about his finances. He gets stuff. He buys a car, cannot. They cannot pay the mortgage, $1,000, but they have $50. So what do? They grab those $50 and they go to Red Lobster to eat those $50. But they go to Red Lobster to post on Facebook that they are eating a Red Lobster. Are you following me here? That's the show off. They buy cars, they give money. They even give money sometimes to the church. They do stuff crazy that they don't have. That is the show off. They try to show something that is not real. Are you following me here? Whoa, did you see Pastor Christian? He put $500 in the offering. But Katie, we cannot pay the water this week, okay, honey? But everybody saw how much money I put? I didn't do it. That's the show off. The sixth one, that's the godly one, the giver, the generous person. When it comes to finances, the world says rich and poor. Amen? Those are the two categories in the world. The Bible talks about the godly and the ungodly with your finances. So the giver is a person that lives by the principles of the Word of God, and he loves God and the kingdom of God, and he loves people with his finances, his kids, his spouse, his friends, and even his enemies if he can. He's a generous guy. Say with me, he is what? A generous person, but also smart, but also godly. So I'm going to say this. Good finances have nothing to do with money. Good, healthy, blessed, abundant finances have nothing to do with money. It has to do with one thing: godly, wise principles. And for that, you need to surrender your heart 100% to Jesus. Because money is a scalper. What do you call the knife that the surgeons use? What is it? A scalp. Scalpel. Something. Do you know what I'm talking about? Very sharp. Money is the what? Say it. Scalpel. In 10 years, I'll say it right. That God wants to use in your life to see if he is first or not in your life. To see if he is first. So you see the hoarder, the spender, the avoider, the manipulator, the show-off, the giver. Anybody, don't raise your hand if your wife is next to you or your husband, lives in a relationship or grew up in a house where mom and dad had a different money personality. And that was wonderful. No, it was not. Maybe you're in a relationship. Good relationships work when we are, as mom and dad, have the same vision for our finances, how to raise our kids, and all this good stuff. So three perspectives of possessions. We're going to see here Proverbs. Three perspectives you can have with your possessions. The first one is the selfish person. The selfish person says, what is mine is mine. What is mine is mine. Proverbs 1:19 says, such is the fate of all who are greedy for money. It robs them of life. It robs them of life. It hurts their relationships. It can destroy your finances. It can destroy your family. It can destroy your marriage. Is what is mine is mine. The greedy person is not thinking, how can I bless the kingdom of God and others? He is thinking, how much money I can use for what I want. And I don't care if anybody else doesn't agree with this. What can I do to make me happy? Are you here with me? The greedy person. The second personality is, what is yours is mine. Know anybody like that? What is yours, you should pay my bills. You should give me everything you have. You should give me this. You should do this. And so this people is, what is yours is mine. I don't care who, people like that, let me just be straight with you. I don't care who gives tithe in this church. I am not going to give any money to this church. I don't care if somebody else has to pay the bills in this church. That is the person that says, what is yours is mine. Are you following me here? Ooh, it got really hot now to see where you're sitting. I don't care. I have something in my household that my dad teach me to eradicate that from very young. Everybody cleans the house. Everybody cleans the yard. Everybody does dishes. And as soon as you get a job, honey, I was 12 and I got a job because my dad told me, you got to work. Now you're going to sit your butt for 3 months all summer long doing nothing. You got to work. And he said, and 10% of your salary comes to the house. Because my dad was trying to teach me one thing. I'm not going to live a life where everybody else is going to pay the bills, and I'm just going to use all my money for myself. Are you following me? And I know that you got maybe really mad, because I know that some parents don't agree with this, but I'm telling you, there is a principle of what is mine is not mine, or what is yours is mine, and I do whatever I want. And let me tell you, a person who has no bills and is young, spends tons of money on stupid things. But the moment they have to give 10% to mom and dad, 10% to the Lord, they start understanding a principle. And that principle is generosity. I pay my own bills. You're not going to pay my bills. I'm going to pay my bills. Amen? What is mine. Proverbs 30:15 says, the leech has two sons. No, that was a joke. It's daughters. I'm not going to get into that philosophical principle. Give is the name of one leech daughter, and the other one is give. Three things are never satisfied, four never say enough. The leech has two daughters. Leeches don't eat vegetables. Amen. What do leeches eat? they suck the blood out of an animal or a person. You want to raise kids like that? Go for it. Go for it. But you're not doing them any favor. Amen? You're not doing them any favor. Give and give and give me, and they are never, never satisfied. The third perspective of possession, the first one is selfish, the second one is stealing, the third one is stewardship. What is mine is his. What I have belongs to God. Proverbs 21:26 says, some people are always what? Greedy for more, but the godly love to give. So what is the godly? Again, it's not rich and poor. It's about what? Being godly. Some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. The godly person is what? Is a greedy person? No, is what? Is a what? Generous person. The godly person is a generous person. Do you want to mess up your kids' life? Give them money and don't give them wisdom about how to manage money. It's okay to give money to the kids. I'm not against it. The other day, I spent $6 and bought socks for Hans. And he has a job. If you go to Taco Bell here from 4 to 10 almost every night, he's going to make some. He's a white boy, but he can make a good taco there. But let me tell you something. I try to teach my kids how to administrate their money. And one of the very important things is they struggle a lot when they have to give 10% because our heart is not generous by nature. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. Our heart is by nature what? Greedy. So you want to mess up your kids' life? Give them stuff. Give them money. Don't teach them any godly wisdom about finances. And you're going to have a leech daughter and a leech son that is going to come for the rest of their life to leech our life away. How many loves me or hates me? A little bit more now. Praise the Lord. The selfish says, why do I have to give what is mine? The selfish person says, I work for this. But the Bible says that the whole universe and everything that is in this world was created, and the owner is who? God. 10,000 cows on top of the hill, they all belong to God. You can buy one of those stars and move to another planet. Let me tell you, honey, you did not make that planet. God made that planet. Amen? So God has a principle for you to be blessed. And it is, I give you 100%. You can use 90%. 10% belongs to the Lord, and it is holy, the Bible says. It is holy. And then if you look in Leviticus chapter 19, in that verse, the second verse says, if you withhold your tithe and you want to give it in a month or in 2 months, if you don't give it right away, God says, a fifth of that tithe has to be added if you're going to give it down the road as a payment in a month or in 6 months. Read it. And Jesus said, you should give your tithe. He teached about that. And the tithe is not from the law, because the law was brought by Moses. And Abraham was the first tither. And he had a son, Isaac. And he had a son, Jacob. And this guy had a lot of kids. And one of them was Joseph. And he was taken into slavery into Egypt. And they had a lot of kids. And his brothers came back. You know the story. And they created a multitude of a lot of people. And they were slaves in Egypt. And then what? 400 years of slavery? Then Moses comes. This is a long time before, after the tithe. So God says, you keep 90%. The godly person says, what do you want me, God, to do with my money or your money? with your money. Because if you understand, and I have to tell you, my friends, I'm just going to be honest with you. You can fight this subject, be greedy, not give a penny to people or the kingdom of God, and good luck. But you can talk to any person in the church who is generous with the kingdom of God and doesn't rob from God and gives God what belongs to him, and talk to them and tell me your story. Why are you still tithing 20 years later? And they will tell you why. Because God has wisdom and he wants you to be blessed. He wants you to pay your bills. He wants to transform your heart. So you can be ungodly and poor. Proverbs 10:4 says, lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. So you can be ungodly, you don't want to work, you want to be lazy. Consequence, you don't have money, you are ungodly, and you are poor. Very simple. You can be godly, and you can be poor. You can be godly and you can be poor, because Proverbs 28 says, better the poor who walks is blameless than the rich whose ways are perverse. So the poor person who doesn't want to live by the wisdom of God is going to find the scripture and says, it's better to be poor and broken and walk a life away from sin than to be perverse. But don't ask me to pay your bills. Amen? So you can, I'm just saying, you can be ungodly with a lot of money, or you can be ungodly, lazy, and have nothing. Or you can be godly, and you can be generous and blessed, or you can be godly, and you can be like the guy that Proverbs 28 says, and be broken. You choose. I want you to have money to pay your bills. Is that a good idea? You can be ungodly and rich. Proverbs 15:27 says, the greedy brings ruin. The greedy brings ruin to their... Look what the Bible says. Did you want to have trouble in your house? This is the secret. You want to fight with your wife and your kids and your friends and everybody around you? You want to have problems at home? What do you have to be? Let me hear you. What do you have to be? Greedy. And not generous. But all the law and all the prophets, Jesus says, is resuming this one thing. What? Love what? God and love people. So when it comes to finances, you can be greedy or you can love God and love people with your finances. You can be godly and you can be blessed. How many of you guys want to be godly and blessed? Yes. Amen. Here's the secret. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord brings what? Wealth. Without painful toil for it. So Jesus says, I want to be under God's command. Jesus was God. And he says, I do the what? The will of my own. Or what he says? I do the will of what? Of the Father. So God, what did you want me to do with my finances? What did you want me to do with my generosity to the person and the door and the corner? What do you want me to do with my heart and my generosity with my family, with my friends, with my enemies? How much you want me to give to mission? You have to say, God, you got to be the focus on my life. Write this down. If you focus on your wealth instead of God, eventually you will become ungodly. I'm not talking here a message, God wants you to be a millionaire, because if you focus, and I've seen that, if you focus on your wealth instead of your relationship with God, eventually you will become ungodly. And godliness will lead you eternity with heaven, and being rich is just a few bucks and stuff you can buy on this earth. Are you following me here? Your priority in your life has to be what? Jesus, in your relationship with him. You can be godly and broken, or you can be godly and blessed. You decide. So to be blessed, You not only have to give your tithe and be generous with people and show your love to the kingdom of God and people, but you have to have a good plan also. Proverbs 21:5 says, good planning and hard work. Some people just want to plan, but they don't want to work. It doesn't work like that, honey, okay? Good planning and hard work leads to what? Prosperity. But hasty shortcuts lead to what? There is no shortcuts. There is no shortcuts. Young people, if you get married young, if you're a young adult, and you look at your parents, and you're moving out of the house, you just got married, and you want to live the lifestyle of your parents, do not do that. Your parents worked 20, 30, or 40 years to have what they have. Start your reality. Make a plan. Don't be a fool like Pastor Christian, who was married for 10 years and did not have a plan to pay his debt back. And he was a slave of the world. Are you following me here? That's what I say, parents. If you want to give money to your kids, go for it. But the most important thing is what? Give them godly wisdom. Teach them to be generous. Teach them to give their tithe. Teach them to be organized. Teach them to have a plan. Good planning and hard work leads to prosperity. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for what? For what? Lack of counsel. But by many advisors, they succeed. So if you don't know how to get out of the hole of your debt, and for a while you thought you were so cool because you're making more money and you're buying more stuff and getting into more debt, and finally the Lord opens your eyes today and you see that the devil took you down a path of slavery, and you're a slave of the banks, of the credit cards, of the credit unions, make a plan and stick to the plan. Talk to your wife. Make a plan. Look at your spouse and tell them, and stick to the plan, honey. Stick to the plan. Because plans fail for lack of counsel. Ask for help. Wise people, I have been saying this almost every Sunday, wise people ask for what?
Help.
Advice. For help. For advice. You know, I'm not trying to offend any teenager here. And thank you, teenagers, for coming back every Sunday. But I tell you, when I was a teenager, I didn't ask anybody to help me, and I didn't ask for any advice. I knew everything about everything. And you adults who are in trouble with your finances, and I love you in your marriage, and that sinful, selfish nature tells you, I do not need counseling for my marriage. No, it's not a season. It's a lifestyle. I don't need help with my finances. No, the foolish does not get any advice. And I will say it as clear as I can with my very poor English. You are where you are. I am where I am because of a lifestyle that I have adopted. Amen. And when I say, I'm going to lose weight, I've been trying to lose weight for 25 years since I got married. And when I say, I'm going to get out of this hole with my own mentality gave me this big old panza the way I live. It's too cold to exercise. 2-3 plates if it's delicious. Yes, honey. That's me. I love bacon and eggs. We are where we are because we are thinking one way, but we are so prideful and we are not wise and we don't look for help. And what do? We just get mad at a little thing that you step on in the morning. Whoa, what happened? Yesterday was a 2, today is a 5. What's going on here? You know what I'm saying? The last number, the pounds? And so we have to get advice. Proverbs 16:3, ask the Lord if he agrees with your plans. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. God, is this your plan? I tell you the truth. When I start paying off debt, how long was it, honey? 12, 13, 14 years ago? I did not pray. But I can tell you, as much as I know from the Bible never told me, go get another loan. The Bible tells me, you want to be a slave? Proverbs is full of stuff that is not sin. You're not going to lose your salvation, but it's just not wise. Are you here with me? And the wise person keeps making, that's the difference in between the wise and the foolish. I said it last year, last Sunday. The wise person keeps making what? The same mistake. Say it with me. No, that was wrong. That's why you guys looked at me. The fool person keeps making what? Maybe you forget. Don't post on Instagram, okay? The difference in between the wise and the fool is what? The fool person keeps doing what? Stays in the way of living with the finances and gets lower and lower and lower and is more and more and more and more a slave. Thank God the government doesn't have the power to bring us back from debt, because some people dies and they owe so much money. Make you work 100 more years. The wise person, we all make mistakes. Amen? Yeah. We all make mistakes. Amen? Amen? The wise person, what is the difference? Changes the lifestyle. Changes. Proverbs 3:9. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the what? First fruits of all your crops. So you want to be blessed? Put God first. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Romans 13:7. Here's a scripture. You can see that the Bible was not written by men. This is God saying, give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. Normal us would not write that. It's only God can say that stuff. You know, if you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. You need to have a plan to get out of debt. And the second thing, you have to have a plan to save. Proverbs 30:25 says, ants are creatures of what? Little strength, little finances. Yet they store up their food in the summer. It is possible to save a little bit at a time. Amen? A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. If you work a regular job and you tell me I cannot save $5 a month, you're lying to yourself. If you work a regular job and you say I cannot put $10 more in one of my loans, you're lying to yourself. You have adopted a lifestyle that is super not healthy for you. Proverbs 13:11, dishonest money dwindles away, but whoever's what? Gathers money, how much? Little by little makes it grow. Little by little. Little by little. Little by little. As much as I love you, I really am not planning to be this pastor of this church when I'm 75 or 80. Just, can I be honest with you? You don't want me at that age. Already. I worked physically too much yesterday. And I am tired today. You maybe don't know it, because me and Pastor Luis have a pact. And I walk down and say, how was my energy? Especially after a long Saturday like yesterday. Was it higher than 5, from 0 to 10? You know, and so I push myself, not because I'm a faker, because I really think that I have to give everything I can to help you to understand. If it's jumping and screaming a little bit will help you, then I will do it. Honor the Lord with your help. Proverbs 30:25, answer creatures, they store up the little by little. Say it with me. I have to save. I need to start saving. I need to put a few bucks in an envelope or in a saving account every month. I got to go to the bank and tell them, every month take from my checking account $20 automatically in my savings account, or maybe $5, because I want to start saving. Because 40% of Americans, listen to this, don't have right now $400 to go over a $400 financial crisis. I hope not in this room, and you're tighter, you're generous, you love God, you love people, and you have more than $400 saved somewhere. But 40% of the system of the world, right now, if they face a $400 crisis, they don't have it. Hallelujah, what the old preachers say when they say stuff like that. You know, praise the Lord. Don't praise the Lord to nothing. Start saving some money. Proverbs 21:20 is not in your notes, but the Proverbs 21:20 says, the wise man in the house of the wise man is not there. You can just write it down. It came to my mind this morning because my dad teach me this scripture because he was a wise man. He put in my bone this scripture, 21:20 Proverbs. The wise man has oil and precious things in his house. And then the Bible says, but the fool spends everything he makes. Look at the person next to you. We're going to get... This is fun today, man. Do you spend everything you make? I don't want to call you foolish. Just it's God's words with me. Proverbs 20:21. Easy to remember. In the house of the wise man... It's not sin. It's just dumb. In the house of the wise man... there is abundance of oil and precious things. But in the fool, somebody's looking it up. Am I lying? You found it? Anybody found it? Do you spend everything you make? Do you spend everything you make? Do you spend everything you make? And your tires might blow next week, and you have a $400 crisis. I hope you come next Sunday. Do you spend everything you make? You work. You work. Are you saving money? I know he does. I looked at all his finances the other day and I was shocked. I got to speed up to get to your level maybe. Three reasons for Christians to give generously. Your wallet is God's scalpel for heart surgery. Matthew 6:21, the Bible says, for where there is your treasure, there your heart will be also. Start spending money on something that your heart is not in. You wish you would be so in love with your wife again. Let me tell you something. Go and spend some money on your wife. You come to get marriage counseling with me one or two times, you're not doing anything, and you can come in back. Let me tell you, go and spend $100 an hour on marriage counseling. You're going to start doing something about it. Because if it costs you, you will what? You will value it. If it costs you, you will value it. There are some people who have invested in this church over decades. I want to say maybe more than $100,000. They are not going to leave this church so easy. They pray for this church. They pray for this town. They pray for this city. They want God to do something because they have invested thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars on this ministry. Generosity is godly. Giving is a blessing. The Lord spoke to me several years ago, and I told you the story, but I tell you again, because you guys all forget my stories anyways. I'll keep convincing myself, but I just keep telling you my stories. This person in my life, boy, that person, I'm not going to say the gender. The Lord helped me not to say it was a he or she. keep asking and asking and asking and asking. And I got tired of giving and giving and giving and giving. And one day I was tired. I said, God, why did you put this person in my life? The Lord told me, because you need this person, I almost said the gender, more than this person needs you. Because I'm trying to work in your heart. And the $50 you just gave, or that car you just lent, or that one thing you just went to fix, does not compare with me working in your heart. So giving is a blessing. Amen. And the third reason why we should be generous as Christian is because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave." The third reason is because God takes our worst, our sins, our life, our messes, our mistakes, our stubbornness, our rebellious. He takes our worst and gives us his best. Would you close your eyes right there where you are? And this morning, the Holy Spirit is here, and he says, I give you Jesus. I give you the Holy Spirit if you give me 100% of your sins. That is God. Right there where you are, he's offering you the best, his Spirit in your life. Forgiveness, he's offering you Jesus if you give them your worst, 100% of your sins. And if that's you this morning, anybody who wants to help those who are accepting Jesus in this moment, would you pray after me? Say, Father God, thank you, because you are the most generous being in this universe. I give you 100% of my sins, my mistakes, my rebellious heart, my stubbornness. And please give me Jesus. Forgive me all my sins. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Make me a new person. Amen and amen.
Amen. Can we put our hands together for God's spoken word?